It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettea along with Charlie. Long running things behind the scenes. Let's go immediately to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. I think it's the first time he's come on here since being named the new head football coach of the Nicholls State Colonels, Tommy Ryback. Coach Ryback, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Hey, Mike, thank you for having me.
Appreciate it, Coach. Before we get into some Colonel talk, you got a coach's clinic coming up. I think it's this coming Thursday, the 3rd. And so tell everybody if they'd like to attend how they can do so.
Yeah, thank you. Very excited to have the clinic on Thursday. And it's an all-day affair. It starts at 8 o'clock in the morning with our practice, and we'll keep it going until about 9 o'clock at night, with just packed with different speakers from high school coaches around this area, and then also our own staff. But to be a part of it, they just come on over, and we'll be practicing in the morning, and then we'll start the clinic shortly after.
Coach Ryback, I think about it, and people ask me really what makes, you know, Louisiana high school so different. And I said, one, they got some talent down here in Louisiana, but man, what great high school coaches we so fortunate to have in our area.
Yeah, absolutely. And we got a ton of really great ones, you know, within a 2-hour radius of our campus. So to be able to get those guys here and have them share ideas and be able to help each other improve and help us improve as a staff here is just an awesome opportunity.
Coach Ryback, I remember when Coach Rebo took over the job and we sat down for the first time, and I told him, I said, what's your strategy, Coach? And he was like, Mike, you see this little map? I'm going to drop that dime right here, and I'm going to recruit the River Parish, the Bayou areas, into New Orleans, into Baton Rouge. I'll go a little bit west, certainly into St. Mary and into Lafayette. And if I have to, I'll go to Mississippi. And we got to see Coach Rebo a couple times where he was recruiting some guys from that area in Mississippi. But, man, he really kind of laid the foundation of how you still recruit today, mostly from that area of the country, and not saying going to Ruston if there was somebody there that wanted to come here, or Shreveport, but basically keeping it River Parish, Bayou, New Orleans, Baton Rouge, in that area. And he did one hell of a job, and you were part of that, a big part of that staff to piece that together for him.
Yeah, there's no question that that is the blueprint, and credit to Coach Rebo for putting it into play, and that will continue to be the blueprint here. I mean, there's just such quality football players, great people, also great support for those young men in this area to be able to get them on our campus and playing for us. I mean, that's what the people of this area want to see, and that's what we want our team to represent. So in the day and age of the transfer portal and all these different opportunities to add players from different areas of the country, man, our team is still going to be built right here at home. And so really excited about, you know, those coaches coming here, because it only helps us build those relationships and foster those relationships that have been built over the last 10, 15 years with Coach Rebo, and just continue those things moving forward.
Coach, everybody asks about it, so I'm going to throw it to you, because if you don't have a quarterback, you're kind of treading water.
Yeah.
And you're going through that change at Nicholls State. And so this spring, kind of give everybody the blueprint of the guys vying for that starting position. And they're all a little bit different, so to speak. And so tell everybody, Colonel fans and football fans out there, the differences that you have at the quarterback position.
Yeah, we got a good group in that room. Four guys right now are playing in practice at quarterback. I'll start with the oldest, Deuce Hogan, who's a transfer from New Mexico State, who comes with a lot of experience. Deuce is originally from Grapevine Faith Academy in Texas, and he went to Iowa out of high school and then transferred to Kentucky, was Will Levis's backup there. Went to New Mexico State, and then we found him and were able to get him here out of the transfer portal because of the fit with our scheme and also the people and connections that he had when he came on campus on his visit. So Deuce is playing there. Everybody's familiar with Ian Rotary, got a Thibodeau High.
Yeah.
Super athletic guy that can make plays with his feet, really changes the game in the way that you have to prepare for not only him throwing the ball and the running backs running, but also him running and extending plays too. And then Christian Arsenault from down the bayou at South Terrebonne. He's been here for a few years, was our backup last year. He's taken a lot of reps back there. And then we got a younger guy, Preston Welch, out of Turlings Catholic in Lafayette, who's getting his first spring of football here on campus. So good group of guys, impressed with how they're commanding the offense through our first half of spring practice.
Coach, that young Rodrigue, he's kin to me. It's he's cousin down the line, but he's got some kin to me. One of the things I talked to Coach Rebo about is the difference when you and him first got here is the size of offensive line and defensive linemen. They didn't have a lot of big men. And you look at it today, Coach, and I know you were a big part of the recruiting process with this, it's a much larger group of offensive and defensive linemen than in previous years at Nicholls State. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would say you know, in both ways, both in height and weight. Yeah, we're a bigger group now. So.
And I think that is part of it in today's game, that you got to be physical, because you can throw the football around, but you got to be able to run the ball. And I think that was something both you and Coach Rebo really stressed, was the physicality and being able to run the football at Nicholls.
Yeah, there's no question that the game of football is about running the ball and being able to stop the run. You know, it's about controlling the things that people are able to do easily, right? So you can hand the ball off pretty well without messing that up. You can also throw the ball in the quick screens and stuff. So you got to be able to defend that stuff defensively, and then you got to be good at it offensively too. So, and you guys know that starts up front with the big offensive linemen and defensive linemen being able to do things the right way and have great fundamentals, and getting the right guys in the program at that position is critical.
Now, this Guggenheim guy, you know, he was a pretty good football player for you.
Yeah.
Now he's turned into a coach for you, right?
That's right, man, and he is doing one heck of a job. Wise beyond his years. I think you look at a guy who just finished playing, and you would be really impressed to see him on a daily basis, just the way he approaches his business and his coaching on the field. You know, he was coaching with Edie White for a few years, so he has some banked reps at doing that also.
Yeah, well, he's got a little connection there at Edie White. He explained me how he got to doing that. I think Charlie's got a question
Coach,
for you,
Coach. I'm gonna hop in here real quick. We talked with Coach Summerall last week from Tulane, and he talked, you know, the new era of the transfer portal, how many players that he had to replace for his roster from last year to this year. So I was just wondering, because he said he had 5 returning starters on defense and offense combined, which is just crazy to me. But I'm sure it's something that a lot of coaches are dealing with, you know, in FBS and FCS and the transfer portal in the new era of college football. I wanted to ask you, how much roster overturn do you have for the upcoming 2025 season?
Yeah, I would say we're a little bit different. Probably 4 significant contributors off of last year's team that we lost through the transfer portal. Not quite as many as they did, which is a good thing for us.
Coach, when we had Coach Summerall on, and this was right after you got the job, man, he let me know, hey, I went to high school with Tommy Rybak.
Yep.
And he said, I'm going to be honest with you, he ain't the toughest Rybak in a bunch. His sister was the toughest one.
Yeah, there's no question about that. If, man, she's tough and played all the sports growing up, does Ironman triathlons. Highly successful in the military, doing a lot of things that many people wouldn't be willing to do. So my sister's pretty special.
That's awesome. And, man, we certainly thank her for her service in the military. Coach Rybak, looking at it early on, is there maybe an area you say that there's got to be some growth here? And, I mean, you could say that about any area that you have, but that you look at and say, maybe we might have to get somebody or 2 people here to kind of fill out this roster.
Yeah, we continue to recruit and evaluate our roster. You know, we're always going to be hunting offensive and defensive linemen. I don't think there will ever be a year where you look and say, hey, you know, we're set, right? And I think that's probably anywhere in the country people are going to be looking for that position. So to isolate a group and say, hey, we're going to be looking here, that'd be it.
Coach, every Monday when we'd have Coach Rebo on for the Rebo time frame we had him on with, he'd always have Charlie's mouth watering because he was going to big mics. And so we finally had to, bring him, Coach.
Yeah.
I finally had to bring him to big mics.
Stuff, man.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's the coach's show every Monday.
That's a recruiting visit. That's a recruiting visit staple for us, too. So we like to get over there.
Yes, indeed. It's great stuff. Coach, thanks so much for joining us. But before we leave you go, again, tell everybody if they'd like to go to the clinic this coming Thursday, exactly how they can do it.
Yeah, if you'd like to join the clinic to register ahead of time, just go on our Twitter website or the Twitter site, Nichols Football, and you'll be able to see the brochure there and then follow the QR code. I'd also like to mention that tomorrow night we're practicing under the lights at 6:30. It's open to everybody in the community, also open to any recruits who want to come out and see the 2025 Colonels get after it in practice number 8.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Wishing you the best of luck, and we'll be talking real soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you all for having me.
All righty.
Thanks, Coach.
The head football coach at Nichols State, Tommy Rybak, longtime assistant with Coach Rebo. And I know Coach Rebo made the comment to me, hey, listen, if you're looking for somebody to take my place once I retire, it's going to be Tommy Rybak. And that's exactly what the school did. And when we come back, we'll have on with this former Major League Baseball pitcher, and he covers the LSU Fighting Tiger baseball team for us, Scott Sanders, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. beige on beige on beige. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettay along with Charlie Long, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, former Major League Baseball pitcher, now is in the business world for Jenny King and covers the Tigers for us, baseball-wise, Scott Sanders. Scott, thanks so much for joining us today.
How you guys? How you doing, fellas?
All right.
Thanks for having
me. Scott, listen, when you're in the SEC and you get to sweep a series, that's pretty damn good, right? So LSU took care of business Thursday, Friday, and Saturday against Mississippi State. And so what was your impressions overall? Again, it's tough to win three games in the SEC. I don't care who you're playing. And they were able to get it done.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously coming off the losing two out of three to Texas, obviously, you know, they want to make a statement, and obviously they did against ULL last week. And then, you know, for them to come out on Friday night and their ace, Cade Anderson, who's been just cruising along all year, get touched up, and all of a sudden for the first time the bats had to, you know, bail him out where he's been bailing some of the bats out throughout the season, which that's a great win. You know, it was a Thursday night. And then the next day that the pitching duel with, that Ianson went out there against their ace, you know, he went out there and had that one tough jam, and he found a way to wiggle out of it. You know, and the crazy thing about it was the last out was strike three because of the guy didn't get in the box on time. So when you talk about different momentum swings in a baseball game, it's hard to believe how a pitch clock violation can change the momentum of a baseball game. But boy, it sure did. But hey, two out of three on a weekend in SEC. I mean, three out of three at, you know, you got to win two out of three at home for sure. But three out of three against anybody in this conference is a great weekend.
I don't know how much you know about Tech. But I'm going to ask you anyway, Scott. Do you know anything about Louisiana Tech and kind of maybe their strengths and weaknesses?
Well, I mean, I do know, you know, they were really, really good for a few years, and I know that they're a little down. You know, they're 17-11 on the year, 5-5 away from home. You know, on the road, they're 5-5 on the road. So that tells me that they're probably pretty good. But I'm thinking, to be honest, I think they have a team kind of like ULL has this year. You know, had some success over the past few years, but not the La Tech 2-3 years ago they were. You know, they did win two out of three against Wichita State, which Wichita State's not who they used to be. You know, all of us guys my age, you remember Wichita State?
Yeah, right.
Stevenson, you know what I mean? But you know, so I think honestly, hopefully the Tigers go out as they're as hungry as they were against ULL. But I'll be honest, coming off a three-game sweep, sometimes you can kind of feel your ways and, you know, get into your head and think you're a little bit better. But hopefully they go out tomorrow and just take care of business. But, you know, I think if their pitchers can go out there, and I'm sure they're going to throw five, six guys. Well, you know, some good arms are going to go against Tech, so I like the Tigers' chances.
Going back to the Mississippi State series, Scott, Coach Lemonis was hot with that, you know, pitch clock violation and the strikeout there for Anthony Ianson. But I think there's a couple storylines I'm taking away from this past weekend. Ianson's one of them. He wasn't, you know, the sharpest. He ran into some trouble in some innings, but going five innings, 12 strikeouts, limiting him to one run, and then Casen Evans takes it the rest of the way. It was still a really strong performance by your quote-unquote Saturday starter that was pitching on Friday. And especially with Cade Anderson kind of having a down weekend, every big hit was out of the park in that first matchup on Thursday night for them. But having the kind of performance that you saw from Ianson that you're really hoping to see in SEC play, I think was very encouraging.
No, 100%. I think he needed that for himself as well, because, I mean, if you look at his raw numbers, he's thrown 37 innings on the year. He's only given up 32 hits and walked at 11 people. But he's sitting with a 3.89 ERA, which is not saying it's bad for SEC, you know, and the type of talent, the type of teams LSU plays. But looking at those raw numbers, you'd think he'd have like a 2.5 ERA. So he's had those innings where he's walked a guy and gave up some hits, and when they do, they score. But if you look at his whole picture, I promise you he has way more zero innings that he's put up than anybody probably besides Cade Anderson, you know, as a starter. You know, so it's just really – he's got 58 strikeouts in 37 innings, you know. So it's – but he needed that. And honestly, I think LSU needed that as a team to say, hey, he is our dude on Saturdays, which obviously last week was Friday, but he is our dude on Saturday, and we could put him up against anybody on Saturday SEC and we have a chance to win. And I think he did that on Friday night.
Three names from the Thursday night game as well, because, Scott, if I'm – you know, looking at this season at a glance, I think that might have been one of the most important wins for LSU all season long, where, you know, Cade Anderson doesn't have his best stuff. He gives up three home runs. You find yourself in a 6-2 hole. And then all of a sudden that five spot in the fifth inning where walk, Daniel Dickinson comes to the plate, hits a three-run shot, then a single. And then the next batter, Stephen Milam, hits a two-run shot. All of a sudden a 6-2 deficit turns into a 7-6 lead. And then Zach Cowan. Oh, my goodness. Like, he was... You know, outside of Ianson and maybe Evans, he was the story of the weekend. Four shutout innings, only giving up one hit, allowing one base runner, seven strikeouts. They couldn't touch him. And this is a good Mississippi State offense. They ranked top five in the SEC in batting average. Cowan, once LSU got the lead, Jay Johnson said, I'm going to my bullpen weapon, the MVP of the bullpen so far. And Cowan just shut down the Bulldogs.
So I'll be honest. You know, early in the year, I said I wanted to see if Dickinson can hit SEC pitching. Well, he's sitting here at 355 in the SEC, so I was wrong. He can hit SEC pitching. You know what I mean? I'll be honest, those two guys right now up the middle, besides their defense, the way they turn double plays, which I'll be honest, it's as good as a double play combination as I've seen in a long while at LSU. Athletic, get rid of the ball fast, quick turns, good arms, you know what I mean? But you know, those two home runs that they popped, to me, that was that can be a season changer, because they lose that Thursday night game with their ace, who they thought was a no-brainer, we're going to win. You might lose two out of three. You might get swept by Mississippi State. So next thing you know, it just totally turned. And then Zach Cowan, I'll be honest, I think he's the best pitcher on the staff. I know he didn't throw the hardest, but he by far to me is the best pitcher LSU has on the staff right now. Because he just goes out and gets out and makes guys look stupid. Nobody has good at bats off him, you know. And I'll be honest, he's got the strongest gut on the team. You know, we say another word, but I can't say it on the radio. But
yeah. I'd have to have Charlie hit the mute button on that.
He's got the biggest gut on that staff, and I'll be honest, I would like to see him start, like I said last week. But if he's that guy to win you a game on the weekends. And come in and do what he does. I mean, Jay's doing the right thing, because if you have a guy like that in the bullpen, that's what takes you to win a championship, especially in Omaha, because you have to have people like him to win in Omaha.
Scott, I think I got this right. You had told me as now you get out of these days that you maybe have cool mornings and it gets cool off at night. But now we're getting into kind of a warmer phase, and we may get another shot of cold weather somewhere down the line. But we're getting into the warmer days, and I think they're giving like record heat about the end of the week. Now, who knows? Yeah. Man, it is South Louisiana, so you never know. We got snow, now we got record heat in March. And entering into, April. My thing is, didn't you say that you felt as though that was more of an advantage to the batters than the pitchers as it starts to heat up? And what does that do to a guy like Jerry Jones? Because now you see a little bit of fear in the eyes of the pitchers already. But in essence, when we've gone from this areas where we get kind of cool mornings and cool nights to where, man, the cool days, that's sort of history at this stage. Does that really help the hitters more than the pitchers?
100%. You know, because obviously when it's cold, they stand in the field and don't move around. You know what I mean? So literally you're standing there just shaking. But once it starts heating up, obviously position players love to hit in the heat. Pitchers hate to pitch in the heat because obviously, you know, you're gonna sweat more. You're gonna get tired quicker. So as it starts getting hotter, 85, 90, 92, 95, it's definitely advantage hitter, like big time. You know, because it's just pitchers. I'm not gonna say pitchers hate the heat, but you know, because the only good thing when it does heat up, it's easier to feel the baseball because you sweat more, so it's easy to get sweat. You can feel the leather. Your hands don't dry out as much. But hitters love to hit when it gets warm. You know what I mean? And obviously, to be honest, the ball flies. The hotter it is, the humid it is, the further the ball flies. So trust me, as it heats up, I can promise you Jared Jones is going to heat up as well, especially with the long ball.
That was the first thing that came to mind. Man, I heard about they're giving like record heat later in the week as we enter into April. I'm like, and Jones, he might be getting a few more walks than he has already, and he's gotten quite a few.
That's right, because like what I was saying is that as the weather heats up, so do the hitters.
So also we mentioned Zach Cowan, Scott, but I wanted to get your thoughts on Cason Evans. It feels like these are the two bullpen weapons that have really emerged for LSU early on, and you know, the long relief as well. So where Zach threw four innings on that Thursday night game to kind of secure the victory, there was a tightly contested matchup. You know, in that 2-1 game on Friday, which would have secured them the series, it in fact did, a 2-1 game, Anthony Ianson, you know, Jay puts him back out there in the sixth, but he's over 100 pitches. I think he walked the first batter, and then at that point, they pulled him out. Cason Evans goes in, the second most trusted bullpen guy, and what we saw from him on Friday was also huge because of the extended relief appearance. He goes four innings. He fired a career-high 72 pitches in the performance as well. And then he locks down the win and picks up his fifth save of the season. We've called him kind of the de facto closer on this team, but seeing him go an extended relief outing in a very tightly contested SEC matchup was awesome.
Yeah, it was. And the one thing I love about Jay Johnson is Jay, he finds ways to win baseball games. Did he want to use Cason Evans for four innings? He probably did not, but he did what he had to do to win that baseball game because he knew, obviously, I don't want to say they stole game one, but in my opinion, they stole game one with the bats. In game two, you know, Ianson gave him a shot to win, and he said, I'm going to my next best lockdown guy, and he's going to finish this game. And luckily he did. You know, he got in a little trouble. I think it was the ninth. But you know, I think it might have been the eighth, but he struck a guy out, got out of it, then came back in the ninth, got a guy on base. But, you know, he's been incredible. I mean, it's just he's sitting with a 0.90 ERA, you know, and you're talking 29 games into the year. I mean, that's video game numbers, you know what I mean? But Jay knows his guys. Jay knows how to pull punches. Jay knows how to put guys in situations to succeed. And I'm glad he let him go out there and extend himself because now the good thing is he knows he can do it if he needs to do it again. And that's so key for a young guy. You know, young in his career as a pitcher who, you know, who's never been in that type of situation. So a lot of wins, besides the three wins on paper, a lot of wins mentally for that LSU pitching staff this past weekend.
Scott, I'll ask you the question. It's been asked to us about the bats of the Yankees and people making a big thing about it. That does matter who's swinging that bat. And Aaron Judge, man, yeah, he's been on a tear. But your thoughts on the issue involving the bat?
The torpedo bats is what they call it.
Yeah, so I'll be honest, I just learned about this after the Brewers made a big deal about it. You know, supposedly Anthony Volpe, you know, some MIT guy who works for the Yankees did a study, and he kept getting jammed, so he forgot a way to move, shift some weight in the bat or whatever. And obviously it's legal because they had to get that every bat in the major league has to be approved. You know, you can't just walk up and use a bat. I mean, you can, but if you get caught, you get kicked out the game and suspended. So obviously MLB, you know, approved it, but I'll be interested to see, you know, if things start changing too much, you know, do they test it and do they pull them off and say, hey, we need to do more testing. But I'll be honest, MLB wants to see as many home runs as possible, so I don't see them saying no to it.
Bingo. You know, but
it's very, very interesting. I don't think it'll be for everybody, you know, because guys who hit the ball like Aaron Judge on the sweet spot now, I don't think he's going to want to move the sweet spot. But, hey, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of guys trying it out to see, you know, in batting practice and things like that to see how it feels. But it's very interesting, and you'll see. I think Louisville Slugger is the one that did the first one, but I'm sure Marucci is. I can promise you some engineer Marucci right now is banging out some torpedo bats right now as we speak right here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I can promise you that.
Scott, before we let you run, we're going to be talking with Joe Healy about this later as well from D1 Baseball. But the SEC standings, it feels like early on the quote-unquote cream is rising to the top with Arkansas, Georgia, Tennessee, and Texas all 8-1. LSU with a 7-2 conference record is fifth place, but sole possession of the fifth place in the SEC, but fifth place regardless at 7-2. And so then on the opposite side, you have like Florida, Mississippi State, South Carolina, Texas A&M, and Mizzou all at the bottom of the conference, either at 1-8 or 0-9. Up next, LSU is a matchup against Oklahoma, who's one of the few teams that's kind of in the middle of the pack right now. They're 5-4 in SEC play, but they're still a top 10 team via D1Baseball.com. Your thoughts on the matchup, LSU heading to Norman for their first SEC series against Oklahoma?
Well, I'll tell you, first thing is the Friday night guy, Kyson Witherspoon, is going to be a top 10 pick in the country. He will be the best pitcher LSU's faced this season so far. Probably, I would say, by far. Get out the gate. You know, obviously, you know, Oklahoma's 15-1 at home, and they're 4-4 on the road. So they're 22-5 overall. So obviously they play good at home. But the bottom line is the Tiger bats better be ready Friday night, because this guy's he's a legit first rounder, and he's a legit probably top 10 pick. His brother pitches on Sundays, not nowhere near his brother, but he does start. Interesting to see the middle guy. They went to a guy named Kay Crossland last few weeks, but, you know, Cam Johnson, who was at LSU last year and decided to leave because he couldn't throw strikes, is basically looks like once again he's got 17 walks in 19 innings. So it looks like he's out the rotation. But, you know, two of the three starters, one's got a 5.74. The other Witherspoon, Malik, has got a 5.74 ERA. Crossland's got a 6.66 ERA. So, you know, if they can find a way to steal Friday night, which I think they can, I like the Tigers' chances of winning game 2 and 3. But you know, they got a good team. They got a good story program. You know, they went a long way last year. Coach has been there for a long time. So, I mean, they're going to put a fight up. They're not going to just roll over and play dead, I can promise you that.
Scott, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always great to have you on. Great insights. And how's business at Janet King, dude?
We rock and roll here at Janet King, man. New Orleans and Baton Rouge and all the other areas, we rocking and rolling. So if you need your building clean, give us a shout. We're rocking and rolling.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
All righty. Scott Sanders, former Major League Baseball pitcher. Now, man, he does a great job covering the LSU Fighting Tiger baseball team for us here on the Big 870 WWL. Come back. Triple option, myself along with Steve Geller, Charlie Long, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Steve Geller, Charlie Long. It's our triple option feature. And guys, I'll go first. Man, I've got to send my thoughts and prayers to the family of Dan Simmons, longtime Saints employee, was the equipment manager, I think it was 42 years. He started in 1973.
That's a hell of a run.
Man, he had a long run with this team. He retired back in 2014. Great guy. I've never heard anybody say anything negative about Dan. And he was one of those guys, I remember him telling me one time, nobody else is going to wear number 8. Just like if he'd have been there, nobody else is going to wear number 9. You know, that was one of those deals. Nobody was going to wear Archie's number, and no one's going to wear Drew Brees' number if he'd have been there at that time frame. And I think he started in the spring of 73, if my memory's right about it. But you talk about a great guy and someone that really was not a limelight seeker. I mean, he just did his job, did what I'm supposed to do. He knew every secret in that organization, too. Man, but he wouldn't spill his guts on it. And God bless him. He's just a great guy in life. And so our thoughts and prayers go out to his wife and Elaine and their three children. And it just is a great guy and certainly meant a lot to the community and to the Saints organization.
Well, Mike, I'm going to go with defending one of Louisiana's own in Kim Mulkey. Not like she needs me to defend her, though. After the Tigers lost to UCLA in the postgame press conference, a reporter, so you could tell as a student reporter, was nervous asking Miss Mulkey questions. And he said, for a second straight year, you guys have been eliminated in the Elite Eight. She kind of cuts him off and says, that's terrible, isn't it? And he goes, yeah, and laughs. And she goes, is that terrible or is that good? And he goes, terrible. Well, is it? She says, how many Final Fours you play in? And he goes, none. She goes, okay, so it's probably good, huh? Well, today now, going into the national media, a guy like Stephen A. Smith on ESPN sounded off against Miss Mulkey.
Not going to take away from the fact that Kim Mulkey is a great coach and an established coach. We just need to finally say this about her. She's very rude. Mm. She's very rude. She's very, very rude.
Yes, very condescending.
I mean, she's rude, she's condescending, and unnecessarily so to too many people. But it's always with the right one. See, she don't go up to the wrong ones like that. You see what I'm saying? It's almost like she knows, Shannon, who to do that to and who not to do that to. Because certain people you do that to, they're going to clap back at you. But she is a phenomenal coach, one of the best ever. But she's just a very, very rude person.
Stephen A. taking some digs there, Miss Mulkey.
Listen, you got to know who Kim Mulkey is.
Exactly, okay. Mike. Thank you.
If you're going to throw it, then you got to get it hit right back to you. And, I mean, it was a young reporter, you know, so, hey, he got his lesson in life.
Right. She was just having a little fun with a guy she could tell was nervous as
and
a student reporter.
And she sort of poked the bear.
Exactly.
And she don't mind getting poked either back. You know, that's just the way Kim Mulkey is. And I've heard that from different people other than Stephen A. Smith. But you have to know the personality. You know, and he is right about, you know, she kind of knows who to tangle in the ring with. She's pretty good at that. But no, listen, Coach Mulkey, she is who she is personality wise. And if you're going to throw a question out there, you better come prepared. You better not be just reading stuff off the internet.
I think it's a thing like, too, obviously, she's our head coach here in Louisiana, so we love her. If she was somewhere else, say at Alabama, we probably wouldn't feel the same.
Well, her personality and Nick Saban's personality. Yeah, I mean, it ain't a lot different between the two of them. Charlie?
Guys, Matt Norlander from CBS has a really cool tweet talking about the 10 best KenPom teams ever, ratings dating back to 1996 and 1997. The Final Four, everyone keeps kind of lamenting the fact that it's one seeds and it's chalk madness. But, I mean, guys, these are four of the best teams in college basketball in recent history. And via KenPom, once again, the ratings, which is, you know, their efficiency rating, defense and offense, 2024-2025, Duke ranks number two in the past basically 30 years. 2024-2025, Houston ranks number six. Florida this year ranks number eight. And Auburn ranks number 10. All four of them are in the top 10 of efficiency rating via KenPom in the last 30 years. I'm celebrating this, guys. I can't wait for this weekend. The Saturday's games in San Antonio are going to be fantastic. Duke versus Houston, and then Florida versus Auburn and that overrated SEC. But, you know, like, it's going to be a lot of fun. I just can't wait to see what happens. I mean, it's four elite teams battling it out at the end. I know that everyone loves Cinderella, but I'm looking forward to this weekend.
Well, Texas Tech put up a fight, didn't they?
Yeah. Florida, they were beat.
I thought Florida was going down. And I give Florida a lot of credit. That takes a lot of poise. intestinal fortitude, because I thought Texas Tech had them at that stage. Though, I'll be honest, I'm like Chessa. I thought Duke's women's team had South Carolina, too.
I was watching
and
that matchup, too,
let them off the hook. And again, when you're a champ, you better knock them out when you got that chance. And they had some opportunities, just couldn't do it. We'll be back to finish it off here on hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Steve Geller, Charlie Long. And Steve, you got Joe Healy on there who covers the SEC for D1 baseball, right?
Yeah, going to recap the weekend of SEC baseball. That includes the LSU Tigers, of course. Their upcoming matchup, too, against Louisiana Tech tomorrow and then this weekend at Oklahoma.
At 7 o'clock tonight, the Jay Johnson Show. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.